We'll mark your psalm because it's number 287. 287.
Also, very quickly, wanted to remind everyone there is a congregational meeting. The elders would like to meet with everyone right after the closing prayer. There's a handout for you. I'll make sure that everyone gets a copy of that. We don't want to put any burden on our visitors. Please feel free at the end of that closing prayer to leave, and that won't be disruptive in any way. And any others who may have some urgent business, let me assure you this is important, but I understand there may be other things out there. How many of you are familiar with Aesop's Fables? I think everyone here is. We got to talking about it Wednesday night. Ethan has a class, and we were talking about that, me and Austin and Ethan and Jesse, and I reminded myself and reminded them about the ant or the ants and the grasshopper. And you might remember that from Aesop's Fables. I might get it a little bit wrong, but you'll remember overall that the ants are, it's winter now, and the ants are storing up the corn that they've gathered all summer. They're drying it and they're storing it up, and the grasshopper is starving. And the grasshopper wants to know if he can have some corn. And the ants respond, well, what did you do all summer while we were gathering up all this corn? And he said, well, I was singing all summer. And the ants respond, then you need to spend winter dancing since you spent all summer singing. Well, there's something to be learned in that. Work is applied effort, something we put ourselves into, and it expends our energies. And we need to recognize that. It's not what we do for a living, but what we do with our living. That's important. The grasshopper may have had a good time singing, but he was wasting his life, is the point that Aesop is trying to get across to us. The moral that is trying to be laid out for us so that we're not wasting our time and effort and end up starving like the grasshopper. An opposite story is told of one who was born premature. Someone who did not know that said, you were born premature? Yes, I was born a month early. I had a lot to do. And that was their attitude toward life. They just had a lot to do. And so they were very busy. You might remember, now for some of you, you may have to go and look this up. There was something that we used to talk about in this country called the Protestant work ethic. Remember that? The Protestant work ethic. Look it up. It's the basis of capitalism. No one denies this is how this country grew, based on that Protestant work ethic. Now, I grew up in nothing less than a welfare state, a state where there were food stamps and unemployment benefits and aid for dependent children and all sorts of programs. I'm not denying there's a place for those things, but there's also something that has crept into our society as a result of that, and it's an entitlement mentality. The second and third generation of getting handouts begins to think and act accordingly by saying to themselves, why should I work at all? Why don't I just get a check from the government? Why don't I just get a handout from somebody else? Why don't I just sit here and take it easy and let someone else take care of me? And that, my friends, is very dangerous in any society. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the sluggard. When you think about the sluggard, you can't help but think about Proverbs 26, verse 14 through 15. As a door turneth on its hinges, so does the lazy man, and that's another way of saying sluggard. The lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and worries him to bring it back to his mouth. I was going to show you this picture, but if you can imagine, here's a guy in his TV chair, and he's got his hand in the bowl, and he says, honey, can you come in here and help me get this chip to my mouth? I mean, it's just that bad, it seems. And the point is being made that, you know, that's lazy. That's really lazy. We need to learn from the mistakes of the sluggard. And that's what I want us to talk about for a few moments this morning. We're just going to be in the book of Proverbs. If you don't think these are principles found in the New Testament, then I would encourage you, we're going to look at some of them tonight, but I would encourage you to look at Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 and mark it down so that you can look at it later. But right now, I want us to think about the mistakes of the sluggard as they're found in the book of Proverbs and some of the things that we see in the lives of the sluggard. We don't want these things in our lives. I like what Mark Twain said. He said, we need to learn from the mistakes of others because we just don't live long enough to make them all ourselves. We need to learn from the mistakes of the sluggard. So the first thing you need to recognize is he will not begin things. He's asleep. sleeper. He's turning on his bed. How long are you going to sleep? I don't know. When are you going to get up? I don't know. What are you going to do today? I don't know. Not really sure of all those things. The sluggard really doesn't know. So look at Proverbs 6, verse 9 through 11 with me. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You're going to smart like the grasshopper. Now, don't misunderstand. It isn't that they're not busy. They're just busy in things like the grasshopper. They're singing all summer instead of working as they ought to be. And that's an important concept to understand. They live on procrastination. And they deceive themselves that everything is a delay. And so every temporary delay just becomes something that it just gets in their way. And so they're not committed. And they go through life following the path of least resistance or the path of least persistence. They're just not going to do very much. And they're used to making excuses, and they make lots of excuses. They're not self-starters. If someone is not pushing from behind, they're not going to do anything. They're not self-starters, and they make ridiculous excuses. Look over at Proverbs 26. In Proverbs 26, look at what we have. We're going to come back to this several times. In Proverbs 26 again, look at verse 14 and 15. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. The slothful, the sluggard, the unmotivated. They're paralyzed by these imaginary obstacles that are out there. A lack of energy is part of this. A love of ease is part of this. A fear of failure is part of this. There's no sense of direction. And again, they're excuse-oriented, and they shun involvement. They don't want to take any responsibility. And I found this. I think I've shared this with you before about excuses. Changed it just a little bit. In order to take care of all the excuses for not attending church, the following information was placed in a local newspaper. To make it possible for everyone to attend services next Sunday, beds will be placed in the aisle for those who say Sunday is my only day to rest. Eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching TV too late on Saturday night. Steel helmets will be provided for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever went to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold, and air conditioning for those who say it is too hot. We will reserve the front pews for those who like the preacher sermons, and the back pews with earplugs for those who dislike the preacher sermons. Scorecards will be available for those who list the hypocrites present. TV dinners will be available for those who can't go to church and cook the noon meal for the family. We will have a selection of trees and shrubs for those who like to see God in nature. Well, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I've heard a lot of these kind of excuses over the years. And people will make absurd excuses. Look at verse 13 of Proverbs 26. Think how absurd this excuse is. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. I can't get out of bed. I can't go to work. I can't do anything. The lion might get me. Well, you know what? I imagine there is a lion out there somewhere. But I doubt seriously if it's going to hinder you from doing the things that you need to do. But in the imagination of the sluggard, the lion is real. You say, well, what about us? Is our talk someday? Do we make excuses for the things that we should be doing? You know, dear ones, life is a do-it-yourself project. And God has given us the instruction book. Here it is. You're involved in this. You need to take responsibility in your life. You need to have that work ethic because it's found in God's Word. It should be a part of your character. And we need to refuse to make excuses. Here's what we need to do. We need to find a way, not an excuse. We need to look to Jesus. Look at all He did so that you can learn all you can do and all that you can be. I am God's masterpiece should be the result of that study. I truly am. I am important to God and His plan for the now and the hereafter. I can grow. I can be useful in God's kingdom, and that is true greatness. So you take on that kind of thinking, that kind of attitude. And don't be like the sluggard. Don't be like the sluggard. Learn from that mistake. He will not begin things. And if he ever has the opportunity to get a project of any kind, he will not finish it. Who's got Proverbs 12, verse 27? Jesse, you got that one, or John?
The slothful man boasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious.
Can you imagine? He goes out hunting, and he actually gets something, but he's so lazy he won't cook it. I thought about that one a little bit. You know, you have that old saying, you give a man a fish, and you feed him for one day, teach him how to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Well, you better teach him how to cook too, I guess. The sluggard finds his way around that. Proverbs 19 and verse 24, John.
The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth.
Yeah, I'm just so tired. I'm just so weary. The problem here really is that they set rash goals instead of realistic goals. You know, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get rich. You talk to a lot of sluggards, or they imagine they're going to get rich. And so they play things like the lottery over and over again. They're going to hit it big one day. They're just going to do those things. They're going to be a rock star. You've got to get up off the couch in order to do some of these things. But this is how they think. This is kind of what the problem is. Now, what do we need to do? We need to set reasonable goals. You need to learn the joy of finishing something. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but there's been a lot of you I know that have finished projects that were tough projects. When you finish something, there's a joy there that the sluggard just doesn't know about. You need to be willing to enter into it with realistic goals, that's true, but then get to the point of finishing and enjoy that finish. Count the cost. He will not finish things. Along with that, he will not face things. Look over at Proverbs 26 and verse 16 again. Look at what it says about the sluggard. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You know what he's saying this morning? Dave's not talking about me. That's somebody else. It's not me. This all relates to someone else. And I can picture somebody. You may already have somebody in your mind that you're thinking of. This is not about you at all. Well, wake up. That's how the sluggard thinks. In his own conceit. I'm not lazy. There's not a lazy bone in my body. I don't have any issues with any of these things that Dave is talking about. Well, you know what? Laziness becomes a habit. It becomes a way of doing everything. All the reasons why something won't work. Rationalizing it in a dream state of what might be and may be. And his failure, if there is one, is never his fault. It's always someone else. So the blame game is real easy for the sluggard. Reminds me of the rancher in Texas who had 50 men, and he thought all of them were pretty lazy. And so he said, I'm going to solve this problem. He said, before all 50 of them, I've got the simplest, the nicest, the coziest, the easiest job for the laziest man here. 49 of them stepped up. And he immediately went over to the other man and said, What? Why didn't you step up? He says, too much trouble. Too much trouble. And that's the sluggard. Kind of how they think. Kind of how they do. They live in the present with no regard for the future. Look over at Proverbs 20 in verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. I just wonder if that's not where Aesop got that faith. You know, go to the ant thou sluggard. You may have been looking at that as well. But the point is still the same. Regardless, it's not about a weather report. This is about the path of least resistance. This is about someone who wants to get by without doing anything. He observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. In other words, he looks out the window there and peeks, and you know, it might rain today. Sun might be shining, but it might rain today, and if it rains, I can't do anything. Or it might be too hot, or it might be too cold. Now, neighbor, you saying it's wrong to watch the weather? I bet everybody here watches the weather. I do. I want to know what the weather is. Usually in the morning, Cheryl and I are checking the weather report to see what vehicle to drive, make sure the roads are going to be safe and all those sort of things. And yes, even in terms of work, there are some outdoor activities. But you see what this individual is doing? They've taken it to a whole new place to where the weather becomes their excuse. They're like the grasshopper. I've got plenty of time for singing. I've got plenty of time for watching television. I've got plenty of time for all these other activities, but I have no time for something called work, especially hard work. The application here is we need to face ourselves and our responsibilities. Again, it's easy to blame others for our failures. It's easy to take the focus off ourselves that we need to make some changes in our lives. Romans 14 and verse 12 says, know thyself. And this is what we were talking about on Wednesday night. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 through 12. Let's just start right here with verse 10. For even when we were with you, Paul says, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Well, now you've got to take that into context, of course. We're not talking about someone who has no abilities to work. We're not talking about the handicapped. We're not talking about the needy. The Holy Spirit is not talking about those things. How do you know that, Dave? Well, I've studied the context. Look at the context. For we hear that there are some who walk. So these are people who can walk. But notice how they walk among you in a disorderly manner. So these folks are real busy. They're capable. But look at what they're doing with their energy. Instead of working, they're not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Let me assure you, God knows your abilities, folks. God knows your abilities. Don't make excuses. Don't be like the sluggard. Learn from those mistakes of the sluggard. And think with me, if you would, about the prodigal. No one gave unto him. You know what? That's when he came to himself. It was at that moment. No one was giving anything to him, and he came to himself. Then he could see his condition, and he was lost. He could say with words, I am unworthy. He could return now to his father's house, and he could make corrections. Too often, when it comes to the work of the church, we find folks saying like things like, we tried that once. That just won't work. That just won't work is the implication. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. We tried it once, many years ago. You can't change people. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard it. Well, you can't change people. If I held to that, then what's the point of anything we're doing? You can change people. I've been changed. You've been changed. We're being changed this morning. You can change people. People aren't interested in the gospel. Well, that's another lie of the devil. There are people out there. I'll grant you, they may be hard to find. But God does not sponsor losing causes. Did you hear that? God does not sponsor losing causes. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, God says, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Even Noah, preaching to all those people for all that time, God's word accomplished something. Now maybe we didn't see all those things, but God's word accomplished. We live in a world that needs peace of mind. We live in a world that needs joy of living and forgiveness, power to overcome sin and defeat the devil, a loving spiritual family, a living hope of heaven, a purpose indeed for living. And so my point here is, if at first you don't succeed because you're just doing it on average, mediocrely, if that's even a word, you've attempted it a few times, don't be like the sluggard. Let's get busy. Let's do these things that God wants us to do. His word is not going to return unto him void. There is someone out there in this community, and I dare say there are many someones out there in this community that are interested in the truth of the gospel. We need to share the gospel with them. We need to carry it forth. Think about Jesus, how hard he worked all his life, and especially during his ministry, and a few disciples. As what he could count at the end of that. But it was still worth it. It's worth every aspect of it because of all the multitude of the faithful beyond that. The mistakes of the sluggard. Let us learn from the sluggard. He will not begin things. He will not finish things. He will not face things. And I'll tell you what, he will not be happy. And just not happy people. Look over to Proverbs 21 with me, verse 25 and 26. Look at how they think. They're just not content. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Their desire killeth him. For his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. He is never satisfied. The slothful is never satisfied. He's craving and complaining. He's the crybaby. He's part of the problem, not the solution. And he's always looking at others. The focus is on self. And if anyone outside of self gets something or gains something, his is covetousness and greed. And maybe even leading to things like slander and unkind words in regards to those things. They cannot and will not be happy or content. They complain and they do very little. Nothing suits them. They're the most miserable. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met are those who are lukewarm in their service to God. And they're just lazy. Spectators. And they really believe, some of them really believe it's their job to point out all the defects in others. So yes, I'm talking, if you think it's your job to point out all the defects in others, then I'm talking to you this morning. Yeah. That's the way the sluggard thinks. You see. That's what they do. And there's a simple cure for that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. So not just sometimes, but always. Not just a little bit, but abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's not be sluggard. He will not begin things. He will not finish things. He will not face things. He will not be happy. Someone might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, one point this morning, the next point we'll make tonight. The point this morning is God desires us to have joy unspeakable. You will never experience that joy unspeakable going down this path, going this way, and thinking that the world owes you a living. Thinking that you have no part in this congregation other than to sit back and take advantage of the work of everyone else. There's something wrong with that mentality. It's too close to the sluggard to be comfortable. And you will never experience joy unspeakable. Don't let that happen to you. It's only when wholeheartedly you use all of your talents in serving the Lord that you really can talk about joy unspeakable. That's what you want to do. You're here this morning, you're not a child of God. You can be redeemed in Christ by His precious blood. Ephesians 5 and verse 7. You can be made near by that blood in Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. You can be reconciled in that one body. That one body is the church. Ephesians 1. Reconciled, made at peace again with God by the cross in that one body. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. By faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By repentance.